Yo, real quick before I start this episode, I just wanted to let everyone know that's competing in our Black Widow Cream X Dutch Bros contest. This is the final warning. The contest is coming to an end. You have to submit by August 25th, 11:59 p.m. Pacific time. That's in 4 days, if my math is okay. Experiment with lights and color. That was a creative concept for this one, and it's for videographers only, video submissions only. So if you created a video, it must be between 20 and 60 seconds. You have until August 25th, 11:59 p.m. Pacific time to submit your content. Submit it to bwnc@dutchbros.com, that email address, and just share your links there, and you will maybe be one of the lucky winners that, you know, whoever gets first place, we're sending them to Las Vegas to shoot at Life is Beautiful Festival. So if you want to create content at Life is Beautiful Festival and get a whole round trip ticket to that shit, you better go ham right now. 4 days. Don't fuck it up. All right, let's start this episode. And we are fucking back with another Black Widow Cream podcast. New episode every single Wednesday and Sunday. I'm your host, Ben Haggerty, aka Ben Real Verse World. And I am here with my friend, David Malave.
What's up? How's everyone doing? Doing good?
I'm good. It's been a while since we've talked to each other with headphones and a mic.
Yeah, I know.
What have you been doing? Well, everyone else, we've been here every week.
Facts.
That's weird.
Well, recently me and Ben both took time with our family, so Ben had a week, he came back, and then I left, and I had a week.
We literally came back,
and then Ben went to a Dutch Bros event.
It was sick.
And then now we're here. Yep. We're back on the grind.
We're going to make a little vlog for the Black and Cream channel. It's being edited right now, but we'll put that out on YouTube hopefully next week or early this week. I don't fucking know, but it was pretty fun. Culture was dope. Where'd you go? Puerto Rico?
No, I went to Port Aransas.
Where the hell's that?
In Texas.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Is that by Galveston?
Same thing. Do you know what Galveston is?
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, kind of like the same vibe.
Oh, dope.
But it's I think it's further south. Galveston's by Houston.
Does it have black sand?
No. Hell no. Okay. It's got some brown sand and some like pretty almost brown water.
That's tight.
No, the Gulf of Mexico is like not blue that much.
So anyway, I guess we could talk to you guys that are listening to this instead of talking to each other. I just realized I haven't talked to Dave about his trip at all. It's just like, hey, what's up? All right, let's go through the to-do list of today. All right, so today's topic is called budgeting for freelancers. Dave brought it up. He thought it was a good idea because we are both on that Dave Ramsey tip still. And but it's a good point because I don't know what kind of inspired you about it, because I know exactly where I want to.
I don't know. It mostly inspired me, yeah, because I've been reading a lot more about personal finance or whatever. That's one part of it. But also just dealing with it more, you know, as you get out here, you know, you got to really, being a freelancer, like you just have to know how to manage your money and be smart and think ahead and think for the future and plan, because
you never know when the next check is coming.
Yeah, you don't know when the next check is coming. You can't count on it. And you never know, like, you know, not every time it's going to come when you think it is. So it's just, we can talk a lot of ways about it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people make a lot of big mistakes in the freelance game. And we're going to talk about that shit right after this beautiful intro for the morning roast, right, motherfucking?
No!
Welcome to the morning roast, a place where you will get the most info from a deep dive into the topics that really need life with your host Ben and Dave coming to you live today. Grab your cup of dough and take some fucking notes, you bitch.
Hey, we're back. That's a fucking fun intro. I know it because I made it with my friends.
Ben has a producing and singing credit on that song, guys, by the way.
Yeah, step your fucking shit up, man. Also, pseudo VFX'd it because I told Kavika what I wanted.
Pseudo, you VFX supervised, actually.
I did. I was a VFX supervisor. So,
and you didn't catch all that green in there.
Yeah, when my mom and dad gave birth to me, they said, this is Ben. Ben, triple threat, Haggerty. I'm a fucking dad. Cat dad jokes. All right. First thing I want to say, this is it's been fun partnering with Dutch Bros. We're almost done with the third contest, which has been fucking sick. I've already seen a couple submissions come in on Instagram. And yeah, the Kochi event that we went to was fucking so dope because it was like this. I don't know how to describe this shit to you, bro. It's like, it blew my fucking mind. I'll talk about it in the YouTube video, but like, dude, they flew in 3,000 some employees to wherever, Sacramento, paid for their flights, paid for the hotel, and pay for all their food and shit, and then put together like a fucking ridiculous concert. Like John Bellion was supposed to perform, he got sick, I guess, so he had to cancel last minute. They got Bozzy performed, and literally everyone was going fucking bananas.
Right.
They do this whole day of speaking and fucking motivating and shit. Everyone was amped as fuck to be there. They're dancing. I was like, holy shit. Anyway, Dutch Bros on another tip with their whole fucking shit.
That culture shit.
But their company, it's like everyone was excited to be there. Like, they pay people well. They take care of you. They make you grow like within the company if you want. If you don't, you can leave. And then they'll like cherish the fact that you were with them, because they like try to talk to people like, this person worked here and went on to do this.
Right.
And I was like, holy fucking shit. I was on their podcast. Which I don't know when that comes out, but I'll make sure to tell everyone about it on here. It was crazy, but yeah, it's been dope to partner with them, and I'm excited to see like what we do in the future beyond these few contests, because I think we can do some more damage. But I never really promoted this, and I felt like I should since I'm wearing the fucking their crew neck and I have one of their mugs on the table. They gave Black Widow Cream listeners 20% off. So if you guys have been liking the coffee or the mugs that you've been getting, if you've been competing in the contest and you want to pick up some more coffee because you just ran out of your bag like I did, you can go to shop.dutchbros.com. They just dropped an app too, which you can get on, I don't know if you can get on Android, but you for sure can get it on iTunes. But you can get 20% off if you use our code BWNC20. So that's cool. Go get yourself some fucking fire beans.
You get yourself some fire coffee themed merch.
Or the, I mean, dude, their fucking merch is... Anyway, they're inspiring to me as a company startup, because they're just like fucking crushing shit.
Yeah, lit.
They made an app just for their merch. That's fucking dope. Anyway, all right, back to this topic. I keep looking at the dry erase board because I thought we had it written up there.
We do.
What's it called? Oh, budgeting for freelancers. What I was saying about mistakes is, I think one of the biggest mistakes people make or creators make. You get a big bag, right? And you think all your problems are solved because you're like good. You know, a lot of people will just are like, oh, dope, and they go buy a Rolly.
Right.
I've seen that shit happen. Like, I don't know how many, like, we do jobs, and then Andrew's like, I'm going to get the new Apple Watch, and then he'll lose it, and then he'll go get another Apple Watch. And I was like, Jesus Christ. And he buys the ill-ass bands, too. I'm like, fucking right. This boy. But I think a lot of people do that. They have that mentality of like, oh, cool, like, I wasn't expecting this $6,000 job, so, and it took me one day of work. Like, I'm chilling
I'm
now.
Rich.
I'm rich.
Yeah.
What should I buy? I need a new computer, I need a new lens, blah, blah, blah. And then guess what? That money's gone. And then no jobs come for 2 or 3 months. And you're like, oh, fuck. And you're scraping by on savings. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was cool at that Dutch Bros event. The CEO, Travis, or the owner, I don't know what the title is. But
CEO.
CEO. He was telling all 3,000 of these fucking young kids, because they all just like got hired. I'm not saying all of them were kids. There were some adults. But he was telling all of them to check out Dave Ramsey. I was like, man, this motherfucker is a legend, bro. He's got everybody on his,
facts.
Like, everyone's listening to it. But it's so cool, because I wish when I started working for a company at 18, 19 years old or whatever, I was being told to listen to shit. You know what I mean? Who knows how many people are listening to it, but I think it's been like, as we've been like paying attention to like what his theories are and shit that he's teaching, it's like so important to invest in yourself, especially like if you don't know, if you're freelance and you have no idea when your next job is coming. Shit's scary. It's mad scary, especially when you live in like LA or Chicago or New York, wherever rent is dumbass expensive. Even in your local town, it might be expensive to you. I remember when I lived in Cedar Falls, my rent was expensive to me. It was like $270. $270 a month?
Yeah.
Now I pay $2,500.
Right.
Like, fuck. That's plus the rent for this shit.
Shit, I wish I could pay $250. Probably sick.
$250 was so sick. We lived in a fucking grungy ass house though with like a lot of the homies. Like 6 people. My door didn't even shut. It had like this weird hook where it just kind of like, anyway, still it was $250, and that shit was still like, fuck, I gotta get the rent, I gotta do all this shit. So I had to work. But it's like, I don't know, in this sense, I guess I look at it like you have to prepare and plan for this type of shit. You know what I mean? Even you moving out here is like, all right, and we're trying to get Black Widow Cream off the ground. We're like, let's try to get whatever jobs outside. It floats us. We can spend as much time as possible in here.
Facts.
And that shit's nerve wracking because you never know what it's going to, luckily, we have Patreon supporting us, which has been cool because I'm starting to pick shit off the ground that starts to cover rent here. You know what I mean? We're trying to make ads, like the How to Charge a Client guy has been super helpful because people are buying it and it's helping them. Dog, we need to get a fucking bug killer in this office because something.
It's just a fly, dog.
I don't like it. But you know what I mean? Like, we've started to prepare things like that to help offset costs for this shit. But when you're a creator and you're out here and you're hustling and trying to figure out like how to make it, I think that you have to kind of plan out your life for at least like a year. You know what I mean? Like, what do I have to do to make my rent? what do I have to do to pay for my insurance? What do I have to do to pay for my car bill? My fucking random expenses, like anything that you can think of, my insurance, all this shit. You have to almost outline those like a line item in a budget and budget your life that way. Right?
Yeah.
Am I rambling?
No, yeah, I was just waiting for the
handoff. Yeah. Take it away. I'm fucking drinking.
No, yeah, I agree. I think the reason why it interests me so much is because, yeah, we listen to Dave Ramsey and it's, you know, how important budgeting is, right? And for us, it's like you can make 10 grand 1 month and you can make 1 grand the next month, or you can make nothing, or you can make 500,
yeah,
or, you know, or 2,000 to 4,000. So you can't really bank on anything. So like you have to, everything that you make, you have to be smart with, I feel like.
Right.
And also my process at least is like, okay, you sit down and you write down everything that you cost for you to be alive, in the sense of like, these are the hard costs of my month, the things that I have to pay every month. And that's like your break even cost. And if you can hit that, then you float yourself. You buy yourself another month. You know what I mean? You make more than that, then it's smart to put that away so you have a cushion for the next time. You don't, so that you have money on top of just making break even. Mm-hmm. And then you hope that you, when you think like that, you can keep stacking to right. the point where you don't have to take every job that comes to you. You can really chase the things you want to do and not be so stressed thinking like, oh, I got to pick this job because I need to pay rent. You
right.
know? But I think it's also this funny thing that, you know, moving to LA, you know, when you work with some of these clients, you might not get paid for 30 days, or it's 14 net or whatever
net
it is.
Net 60 is
net
the worst.
Yeah, net 60 sounds insane.
It's fucking stupid.
And like, yeah, it's like you forgot you even did the job by the time you get the money, you know? Mm-hmm. But you land the 10K job and you're like, you in your head, the funny thing is like when you land the job and you do the job, you in your head, you have the 10K already.
Right.
You're like, I made 10K, but the 10K is not in your pocket.
Right.
So you're out here moving in life and you're like, yeah, I got 10K. So you're spending it. And by the time the money comes in, you're like back at the same point.
Right.
At the sense, because you just thought you had it. So right. I've found this struggle of like, you know, money isn't money. Money's imaginary. Like it's not money till it's there.
Right. right?
And then when it's there, you got to think about the future. So it's like, this money came in. Now it's like, okay, I have to budget out. Okay, this much is going towards this. Now, how much am I going to put away so that way I can keep elevating? You right. know what I mean? Because I think that's what the goal should be as a creator. Like, if you can have money in the bank to know that the next month or 3 months down the road are paid rent, that's a lot of creative freedom to be able to go chase things and take risks. And also, just do what you want to do.
I had a friend the other, well, this was a while back, but we were working for this brand and she had like cracked her deal with the brand early on, right? And you sometimes when you do like long jobs or jobs that are like booked early on, you would take like a 50% deposit, right? For your job. If you're going to do a wedding, you'd pay 50% for this. Dude, there's 3 bugs in here, bro. It's, God damn it. I hate these bugs, yo. I hate gnats. I moved from Iowa to get here, and
they're
there's
not gnats.
They're gnats for sure, dog, and I know why. It's because I left the yogurt in here the other day on accident. Fucking. So anyway, do this job. You can see the bugs in the YouTube video if you guys are subscribed on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe. Thank you. And you get 50% up front. Whatever. Cool. Got the 50%. Then it came down to the job, and she was just, I don't know, I was like disorganized with certain things, and it was crazy to me because I'm like, we were working with a big client. And then you, when you're so disorganized in the way you even handle your personal money, to the point where it's like you kind of want to try to get advance on your next check, like when it's before it's coming, you're asking for that. That's, you don't ever want your client to look at you, who is supposed to be a boss, and be coming to your client and be like, yeah, I need the advance on that, the remainder, before, I know we said we weren't going to give it to me till this time, but I need it now. And I was like telling her like, yo, you got to focus on the shit, because if you keep doing it in this sense, like, people aren't going to take you serious. People aren't going to look at you like you just look like someone that is living paycheck to paycheck and doesn't know how to organize that shit. So if you can't even organize your own personal finance, how are you supposed to organize a project? How are you supposed to organize my company's shit? Right.
And also, I mean? How are you supposed to like prove that you can command what you're trying to get? You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like, when you're putting a rate out there, you're supposed to be like a legitimate business, but then you're like, not, you don't know what you have, you know?
Yeah. I've had those conversations too about, remember the car? It was like, when I thought I was moving out to Woodland Hills, that's just far as fuck. I don't have a car right now. My car's dead. My car from high school is out here, but it's dead.
Yeah, RIP my car too.
Yeah, both of our cars died, RIP. But we live fucking blocks away from our office, and so we're here all the time, and I am trying to ignore the book.
Dude, it's very easy. You just ignore.
All right. So anyway, I'm going to ignore the book. I'm going to kill them after this fucking episode. Right. I'm going to kill all those motherfuckers. No, all right. So I had the car and then I thought I was going to move. Where I was going to move was like pretty far from Woodland Hills. If you're not from here, it's like from Hollywood and shit. It's far. And I knew I needed to be over in this area all the time for other shit. So I was like, man, I'm going to have to drive back and forth. Then I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to get a car. What car do I want? Because right now I just electric skateboard everywhere. And then when I was looking into it, I'm like, I could just get a beater. Like, because I don't give a fuck. I honestly don't give a fuck about a car. There's like one car I want, and it's a Tesla, and that's just because I fuck with the idea. And I, of course, need like all the new iPhones and shit, but like, I don't really give a fuck. You know what I mean? So when it came down to it, I was like, do I go crazy and get a fucking fire car, or do I buy a beater? They both do the same thing, get me to where I gotta go. But then one thing that I remember from a conversation I heard from a client that booked me, I was with them, and we were driving from one location to the next, and they just let me hop in the back of their car. This is years ago. And the one girl was talking about the car she had. And she's like, yeah, I just bought this fucking Honda Civic, blah, blah, blah. I don't even give a shit. It's got AC and music, and that's all I care about, or something like that. And the guy's like, yeah, I know. I bought this car, whatever, but you are what you drive in LA. And I was like, that's the dumbest. I was like so mad at it. Okay. I was like mad. I was like, you are what you drive in LA. I'm like, so they're saying that I have to have a Bugatti to be able to show up and show people that I get Bugatti money. But then I go to meetings, and when I go to meetings, like say me and Andrew go to meetings, he's always had a BMW since I've known him. We'll ride whatever. We go to the meeting in his car and we pull up, and you go to valet and you're at Soho House in West Hollywood. You get out and you give a motherfucker your keys and he takes your car away. And then you're running into the client you're supposed to meet. And that client is a fucking stakeholder in some company and blah, blah, blah. He's got all the money in the world. She got all the money in the world. And then you show you just, what's up, blah, blah, blah. Both your cars are taken away. Now, if I showed up to that same meeting in my fucking Equinox before it died.
You just Uber,
right. You can. But at the same time, it's like you have to, all right, the client wants to go get something else after the meeting because we've been there for 3 hours. They want to go somewhere else. I'll just ride with you guys. And they hop in your fucking car, or you call the Uber. There's all kinds of reasons for it before Uber was really a thing. I just think that the strategy behind it is like, it goes back to the same thing. If I'm asking my client for my advance on my check because I can't pay my rent, it's the same thing as like when you show up and you look like scruffy, or that, you know, people always tell you dress nice for your interviews, dress nice for work or whatever. Like if you show up with like some sort of look to you, like you don't have your shit together, then people might not take you seriously.
Right. Yeah. I would definitely not advise like that. The car shit to me is bullshit. Cause it's like,
it is.
That doesn't mean go buy that it needs, because you drive, what do you are? You were in, what the fuck am I saying? You are what you drive in LA. Well, you are what you drive in LA. Just because that's a thing doesn't mean you go out and just go stretch and get a fucking $500 a month car payment that cripples you because you gotta
totally
pay that shit just because you don't look fly. That shit's stupid. Right. And that goes against what I feel like you do, because it's like, I feel like
the smart hustle is not that.
The smart hustle in terms of budgeting is, how fucking low can I get these monthly expenses?
Right.
How low can I get these monthly expenses down? Rent, food, internet, fucking Apple TV, no cable, Netflix, whatever the fuck it is per month, rental insurance, all that stuff per month. How low can I get that stuff? Because you have no risk.
Right.
You can go out, you can go, once you cap that, once you get the next month set, then as far as anyone else is concerned in terms of creative freelance hustle, you're good.
I think in the mindset of this, it's also understanding, like for the car thing, and why I struggle with it for a minute, because I hate that shit. I hate that people have to have fucking wear a Gucci fucking side purse thing and fucking have the Supreme jacket, whatever. Like I don't need any of that shit. I never buy that shit. I don't care. I have way too much nerd shit to buy to be buying that shit.
Right.
Vehicle, I'm like, all right, cool. I kind of understand it, because I've had the times where you pull up to meet someone and then you're kind of like thrown off, be like, but this person makes all this money. Why are they driving that? This person has all this money. This artist, you go to an artist's house and they're fucking booming. They got number one records, and you walk in their house as a shack and you're like, well, what the fuck? This doesn't make sense. Because personally, it just doesn't add up. You don't have to judge them off that, but most people automatically do. You automatically judge someone by the style or whatever it is. So I'm saying there's two levels to this. Either when you're at the bottom and you're trying to figure out how to survive, do not get this shit. When you start to bubble and you start to make it and you can afford things like it, is it worth the expense? I don't know. That's up to you to decide.
I don't know. We're talking about cars. No one gets fucking rich off buying cars. The minute you buy a car and drive it off the lot, it loses like 20% of its value.
Yeah, no, I heard Dave Ramsey say that shit today.
Yeah, that's
he said. She's like, my dad doesn't want me to buy a used car. He wants me to buy a new car. He goes, well, when you drive that new car off the lot, what is it after that? And she goes, used. And he goes, huh. He's like, your dad's stupid. Yeah. I was like, damn.
No, in the book, he talks about, I mean, this is, I don't want
to. Yeah, I know. We don't have to talk about him all the time.
But the point is, you don't, if you're trying to hustle and you're trying to make it.
No. My theory was that what you're saying is absolutely correct. Right. And I think that you should do that. If you're trying to hustle and survive and get through at bare minimum.
It's not even survive. It's build. You can't build
a future.
You can't build wealth by fucking spending it on a car you don't own. Or spending it on a car that's just not, you're not going to get that value back. The minute you sell that car.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in this power play for me, it's no different than you buying a 1DX or a fucking, I don't know, a T2i.
Right,
it's why do I have to buy the T2i?
The 1DX, when I sell it right now, I'll get what I paid for it.
That's not true.
It's true.
You're not getting the brand new cost
of
the 1DX?
I'll get near what I pay for it. I'm pretty much right under what I pay for it. If the shutter count's pretty low, which it is.
Yeah,
And it's in well kept and there's no scratches.
But what I'm saying, I'm not talking about buying. At the time, I was talking about leasing. I was like, do I lease a car? Because I would never buy a fucking.
Yeah, but leasing is the fucking worst idea ever.
It is the worst. And then I found out. But what I was saying at the time, my mindset was this. Because say you're fucking killing it. You're making like high six figures a year, right? And you're just like, all right, I'm killing it. Like, of course you would buy a car, like rent or buy a car or lease or buy a car because it doesn't matter. But when you show up to places, people look at you like it makes sense. So if you go to a meeting, what my main point from all this shit was, if I pull up to a meeting at Soho House or wherever it be, and I show up in a fucking whatever car, or if I show up in a car that looks like, and the meeting is about them giving me $200,000 to do a project.
Mm-hmm.
If they look at you like, oh, I thought you always do $200,000 projects, but you showed up in a fucking $600 car or whatever. It's a different appearance. So when I go to that, that's my mindset on this. You have to make the decision.
But can you explain what you just said, how does that relate to budgeting for freelancers?
Yeah, right. I don't know how I got there.
Yeah. I think you're just off a tangent.
I was, my bad. But what I do want to say, when you're budgeting as a freelancer, because that's still the same thing.
No, it's because
still
when you're I think at that point. That kind of stuff flies in the face of what we're talking about, in the sense of like, yeah, when you get money and you can lose it, then yeah, go buy a car so you can flex on people. But we're talking about.
No, I was thinking more of a business strategy.
It's not a good budgeting mood, regardless.
No, it's not. I guess I forgot the topic. I think I was going off the part of you trying to impress your client.
I think you were going off what got sent off was when you were talking about a creative who, you know,
shows a client that
they kind of tips their cards to a client that they're like kind of struggling with money, and the idea of like presenting yourself regardless. Even if you are struggling with money, don't present to your client, you know, like, for example, here's a good example. Like, even if you really, really need the money, you still don't want to be like nagging you want to be firm with your client, but you don't want to be emailing them every morning. Where's my check? Where's my check? Where's my check? You know what I mean? There's just this kind of like inherent, you deliver the project, you send your invoice and you wait, you give them a little time because, you know, they're busy or whatever. And then you cordially remind them. You know, and then I think that's part of it, because you don't want to be like, where's my money? And it's like $500. You know what I mean?
Right.
And your client's like, are you kidding me?
It's $500. Yeah. What are you talking about? You do this shit all day.
But I think that's another good point too, like in terms of budgeting, when you're trying to like manage, that's the hard part about this shit, is managing cash flow. Because it's like, everyone else can budget because they're like, my paycheck next week is X and my next paycheck is the same amount and it comes on this date. So it's like, from here to now, I have this much money to spend this on this stuff, and the next paycheck money comes in and
the
I can count on it.
30 years.
And for us, it's like, you can make all of the next 2 months money today, and then you don't know when the next check is coming. It might come in November,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Or you might get called tomorrow and you get another job, and you just try to build your network enough where those calls keep coming in like a good amount of like times where it's just like you never have to worry. But I think it's important to be like punctual with your invoicing. Like, you know, I think you can be lazy sometimes, and it's like the minute once you deliver and you've delivered your whatever you've done for the job, send the invoice like right then. Have it ready, send it with everything you need, W-9, all that stuff. And then another thing is, and I want you to touch on this if you ever do this, but like when you're talking to clients, if you can establish the payment terms up front, in the sense of like, go into the project knowing exactly what the payment terms are. Am I getting paid 30 days after? Am I getting paid within 7 days? Am I setting the payment terms? It's due when you deliver. Is it due when I send you the video? Is it due 14 days after? Whatever. And that way, you know, okay, I'm taking this job, but I'm not getting money till this time,
right?
Which means I have from now until then to figure out, to like, if you need more money, to figure out what I need to do so that when that check comes in, I'm ready to go.
for instance, when in most projects, you usually, especially when it's a budgeted project where you're going to have to hire other people, you either have to have the money before or hope that you get a 50% deposit or whatever deposit you need to start working on the project immediately. So if you're a creator that doesn't have a fucking fat piggy bank, and most people don't want to spend their own money prior and just wait like 60 days to get whatever the money might be, but you could need to, you would hope to obtain part of the check in advance so you could hire your team and do all that shit or expect to pay them. You know what I mean? So sometimes, like almost all the time, every project, it's always like, all right, cool, we're going to do 50% now, 25% upon the first delivery of the rough cut of whatever the project, whatever video we're doing, or, you know, photos may be different. I don't do that shit that often. And then the remaining 25 upon delivery, you know? And so, or some projects, some companies will only pay you net after you've delivered the final product. So you might get booked March 1st and the video, you know, doesn't finish till June. Right. You know what I mean? And then June, you still have another 15, 30 net, whatever the net day is that they choose to get paid. So you could be looking at the check coming in March, but you don't actually get it for like 3 months, which is a motherfucker. So. Yeah. And we went to New York, we went and did an EA video for Battlefield, and it was like 60K budget or whatever it was. And we produced it, me and Andrew. We literally had to shell out like 30 racks between the two of us to do the job. And I didn't get the money until, shit, I don't know when, but like, I think it was net 30 after the job was delivered. So had to throw out 30K. I think it was like, we just put 15K on our credit cards and only did it because we signed a fucking contract with a company that I believe would pay me. So cool, throw down 15K each. And then that was to pay my shooters, pay everyone, you know what I mean? All these different people to do the job, and then have to sit there and pay all these other people afterwards and post. It's like so much work, but you just have to strategize in certain cases to be able to prepare for that shit. But I think like when it comes back to knowing how to budget for your personal individual self, like, at least make your bare minimum, understand how to do it, and don't spend like a fucking idiot when you get it. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, if you're trying to, I feel like if you're trying to do this, we all have to take sacrifices. Like, you can't, you know, you can't be partying three nights a week. You can't go eat out every time. You gotta cook at home. You gotta do these things. You gotta make these sacrifices so that way your monthly expenses can be at a level where you can still live and go out and chase shit. And mm-hmm. like, it'll pay off for damn sure. Plus, like, knowing how much your monthly expenses are, then you know, like, cool. Like if your monthly expenses are 2K and you're taking $300 jobs, then you right there, you know, like you need to step your price up or step, you know what I mean? Like,
or just
know,
do more
or do more jobs, do right. five, do five, six jobs. You got to be working harder. You know right. what I mean? But that gives you a baseline. I think it's an area to reach for. And I think the 50-50 is a great little tip for people. If you aren't doing it already, like, the idea of, cool, you need 50% to book. That way you know, okay, I got this cash. This cash is gonna cover me through the course of the project, and then I'll get the other 50% in terms of finishing it afterwards. Yep.
Yeah.
That's a great thing to implant.
Yeah, it. I think, I was trying to tie in one more story and I just forgot who the fuck it was about. What did we just say? Before you said 50% is a great thing to input.
You were talking about the New York job with the 15-15.
Nah.
Shit. And then I was talking about, yeah, like you do more jobs.
Oh, doing more jobs. Damn, that was it. But I still can't remember what the fuck it was. It was fire too. You guys are gonna have to wait.
I mean, well, think about it. When you like, one thing that inspired me when I first heard your story before, maybe, I don't know, maybe after we met or whatever. But it was like when I was in San Antonio or whatever, I was thinking like, how the fuck am I get to LA? Like, this makes no sense.
Right.
And then, cool. Like, I have no idea how this is gonna turn into a career. But I heard your story and you're like, cool, you moved out here with 10 grand. So I was like, so my whole plan from January 2017 or whenever it was like, cool, if I can somehow save up 10 grand, like if I can stay here and make 10 grand and go over there, I'll do the same thing. I'll just go over there and just figure it the fuck out. But at least I'll know. But the idea of like having a cushion was the goal, right? Right. And so I've always taken that with me in the sense of like, Even if you need to take side jobs or go have a side job or go work and get that little cushion for yourself.
Yeah.
Because when you have a cushion and you're like, okay, cool, now I'm going to drop everything and I'm going to focus on this.
Yeah.
And then you can spend all day, every day thinking like, okay, cool, as long as I have August, September, October rents paid, that means that I have these 3 months to figure it the fuck out. And if in these 3 months I can make another 10K, then I'm good November, December, January. Yep. You know what I mean? And then you start flying like that.
Right. Especially if you need the days off to be able to focus on your bigger picture project. That's right. What I was going to say earlier was having to understand, like, all right, cool. Say you said $300 a day or whatever it was. All right, cool. Yeah, maybe you need to raise your rate. If you can't raise your rate because that's the rate for whatever you do.
Yeah.
Try to do as many of those as possible and then stack versus just say, all right, cool, I need to make, you know, $900, so I'm only going to work 3 jobs this month or whatever, and then you're just making your bare minimum cost, right? There was a kid that just hit us up who was looking for a sponsorship from Black Widow Cream, who said that he had got like a film in a film festival or something, but he couldn't afford to do it, to like go. And I guess it was like overseas or some shit where he got a grant, could fly because of it or something. I don't know really the whole story. But he asked if we could support him. I'm like, nah, we can't barely support ourselves.
Right.
And then I told him, I was like, maybe you just don't go to this film festival. Like, you know, there's always more. It sounds cool, but just let the film speak for itself, because you're just, it sounds like you're not in a financial, he's like, I'm so poor, I cannot afford it to go, but I really want to go. And I'm like, man, there's so many things I've always wanted to do that I really want to go, but I can't afford it. Like, you know what I mean? You just don't go. That's just the reality of it. And you could force your way in, or you can try and do what you're doing right now and hustling and asking random people for money. But like, maybe you're just not supposed to go. And maybe in the time that you would spend doing all this shit, you go find a fucking job, go work some construction, or go try to do whatever the fuck easy ass shit, dumb ass shit, humiliating shit that you do not want to do because it's not cool and creative, right, or whatever. Go fucking do it and get your bread. And I do it all the time. When my homie started working at a pizza spot because he wanted to make music, he needed to make his rent. I told you about this shit. He's like, all right, I got a spot, I got a job flipping pizzas, and I'm going to just make pizzas and do this shit like 4 or 5 days a week. And I'm going to make like whatever his salary was. This was in Iowa, so it was like fucking, you know, $13 an hour or some shit. He's like, I'm going to make $13 an hour. I'm going to work 24 or 25 hours a week. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. If that's like the time you're dedicating, because his whole goal is every penny from whatever he saved there would go towards studio time.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, cool. But, and he's like, in 6 months, I should have enough money to do all these things in the studio. I'm like, all right, cool. You should check all the other pizza spots in town and see for the exact same time that you're going to work for the same hours, what other rates are.
Facts. What's that called?
What?
What's that called in the guide?
In our guide?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
Opportunity cost.
Oh, opportunity cost. Yeah, it's your opportunity cost. Exactly. So it's like, what else could you be doing in that same amount of time that you're not going because you fucking want to be a pizzeria guy for the rest of your life? You're exactly going because you want to make studio time. What other jobs could you be doing in that same amount of time that would get you that bread? All right, cool. I'm going to make $600 a week doing flipping pizzas. But you can make $700 or $800 a week fucking hanging shingles or whatever on a roof,
yeah,
or pouring cement for some fucking guys that just need people to lift up hard rocks and shit. Like, those are all opportunity costs that could help you maximize that time. And if you're already dedicating 25-40 hours to some shit you don't like,
right,
make the most out of it, because you're only going to do it for a limited amount of time till you get the bread, and then you can go do whatever you wanted to do.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I think people don't think like that. I think people think they're, you know, their pride's too high.
Yeah, that's fire. That's fire. I think it's like kind of getting over your ego in the sense of like, we all just want to make it. We all just want to make it, you know, and a lot of, you know, to just everyone is going to get to the point where you're just doing the shit you want to do and making money from and living. That's right. That's the fucking dream, right?
Right?
But the reality is sometimes you need to do the other things and not be, have your ego hurt and be like, cool. Like, your whole front face can be, I'm a photographer, blah, 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 right, blah, blah. But you're just hustling and taking care of business in other ways until that, until you can build the revenue of your real shit into the mainstream. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, the opportunity cost is perfect, because like, if you are going to spend time, it's like, cool, let me make sure I'm spending making the most amount of money for this time and also reserving the most amount of energy so I can do other shit.
That was the biggest problem that I saw. Was that too? It was always that, all right, cool, I'm gonna go do this job that has nothing to do with what my passion or my dream is. And when they do it, they get hooked in, and then they become so into that job, or half, you know, they owe to those hours, that they slip up on the free hours that they had originally set out. All right, cool, I'm gonna go work 40, 60 hours a week at this thing I fucking hate, but that's gonna give me the money to pursue this.
Right.
And when I get off, I'm gonna go home and I'm just gonna do that. I'm gonna do that every hour, and then I'm gonna sleep and I'm gonna do it again. And then after 2 weeks of fucking attempting that, they start getting like tired and work becomes hard, and then they're stressed from that shit and they wanna come home and just fucking smoke some weed and chill and watch Netflix for a little bit. And then all of a sudden that becomes a regular occurrence. And then all of a sudden they're going out to have drinks with their their friends and chill and live a normal life, and they realize that they haven't been doing their job or the goal that they had set out from the jump for 6 months.
That's I feel like that speaks to so many people.
It does, and it's
even,
the worst.
Even Brent Barbano on a podcast, he said, he has had some quote like, be careful with what you do because you might end up doing it.
Right.
And he was like talking about how, like, you know, so many people just, they say that and then they just slip in. They just slip into the lifestyle, like, oh, fuck it, I'll get around to it. And then it's 3 years later and you're like, what did I do? Like, you really got to jump into this shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Talking to you, Riley, one of my homies, Riley. I told him all the time, I'm like, if you go make music and you're going to work a job to make music, it's like this, but then it's so easy to fall into that trap, bro. And it's fucking, it sucks because it's like, it just gets you and it'll eat you up, but it can change it, and it can change it for the better. It's not like you just don't like doing those things.
But if you want it bad enough, if you want it bad enough, then you'll make it work. I feel like if it's just like something where you're like, oh, I wish I could do it, then you won't. You know what I mean? For me, it was like when I graduated college, I was like, cool, I'm going to do this now because this is the only time where I'm like, I can just jump into it.
You can make mistakes too.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just going to jump all into it because if I get, I knew like, if you get a job, you get sucked into it. You're like, cool. Because you get a job, right? You, and your salary is whatever. And you're like, cool, I'm going to get an apartment. And then I'm going to get a cable. And then I'm going to get internet. And then I'm going to get blah, blah, blah. And now I have bills that I got to pay for, which means now I'm fucked.
Right.
Right? So, you know, not everyone's blessed, but I was like, fuck it, I'm going to move to my parents' house. And then that way I don't have to worry about some of that shit and I can figure it out.
But I did the same shit when I was making
music.
But
like, I think there's a point. I've had people DM me like, how do you get into it? How do you start? Like, how do I make the dive?
I lived at my parents' house as an adult.
Right.
And fucking figured it out.
Right.
And like, that sucked, and it was embarrassing.
It takes a humility hit.
Yeah.
But like,
Who gives a fuck?
But though? And part of that is budgeting. Like, if you do have a job and you're trying to be a freelancer, like, cut spending somewhere and try to save a certain amount per paycheck for as long as fucking possible.
Mm-hmm.
Until you have a certain amount where you feel like you're good and you feel like you're passionate enough, and then fucking take the dive and jump. But also, I feel like there's another thing too before we wrap up. Yeah. Talking about doing jobs and like that you don't have nothing to do with your passion, whatever. I feel like there are ways to hustle. Like, this is what JR said. Like, he's like, remember, he's like, if you're a creative and you can't make a flyer for someone for $50 to pay for Creative Cloud, then you don't really want to do this.
Hell,
in the sense of like, there are so many ways to, if you're a photographer, like, you could go take headshots. You could go take headshots for like people graduating college or some shit.
Or if you're out here, people that want acting reels and they need
acting headshots. And you could line up like,
Venmo me $30 and I'll do it right now.
On a Saturday, you could line up like 15 people.
Right.
And charge them all, say you charge them all $100.
Right.
Or $50, right. Whatever it is.
Right.
That's 700, what is that?
I don't fucking know.
1500, yes. 750.
I'm just agreeing. I mean? Yes, math.
Like,
math.
And no matter where you live, that might be your rent. And that could be a way, like, think about more ways you could hustle with what you do.
It really is. It's about maximizing your opportunity and like, dude, damn, you could really reference all kinds of shit. Like, when I moved out and I got my studio apartment and I traded the motherfucker for cash, low cash, for his studio apartment on Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood for $1,200 a month, which he said it was worth $2,300 or something like that, and I couldn't afford that. And I traded him that plus drone footage, photos of the real estate space, so that he could use those to show when I move out, all this shit, and he was about it. And I just threw it out as a Hail Mary after. I was like, hey, sorry, I can't afford it. By the way, I do this shit. If you ever need some, I could do it for you. And that's what got his attention. And then it happened. I lived there for like fucking 8 months.
It's fire.
It's crazy. You never know, but like, use your skill set to find ways to
real estate
crack open doors.
Real estate is money.
Real estate is a saving grace, bro.
Like, if you have some type of stabilizer and a wide lens, and you have some type of artistic, even if not, and you go to any realtor's office or anybody with the big house or anyone that's selling and say, hey, would you like a blah, blah, blah. I bet that's there's ways to hustle.
It seems like
without having to shoot what you actually want to shoot.
It seems like it's probably burnt out now, but like, there's so many, all these real estate agents themselves are flying. That was even hard for me. I do drone shit. Yeah, well, we do drone shit too. I'm like, yeah, but your drone shit is straight fucking trash. You're telling me that 4.5 minute clip you uploaded to YouTube is the, like, I'm talking about editing the drone clip.
Right.
Like, you fucking don't know.
You know, they get it. Because now the real estate people probably love the little like drone.
Yes, $400.
In the live modes where it does it for you.
Oh my God. Anyway, all right, that's it. If you want to hear more about like some of the shit we were talking about, it's in the How to Charge a Client guide. So you should definitely cop that shit at shopbwnc.com. And I feel like that's it. Do we have anything else to talk about?
No, I guess if you watch on YouTube, or if you're not watching, listening on YouTube, go on YouTube and comment what you thought.
Yeah.
Tips, things you learned.
I like that. I like seeing things, people respond,
and things you suggest, like things we forgot or maybe things that we said wrong.
Yeah, and I don't know what don't buy an expensive car.
Yeah, Ben went on a tangent there.
The that fuck was I talking about? I'm like, after we ended, I'm like, yeah,
I'm
like, what was
I'm the whole time I'm thinking like, we're talking, I'm like, the subject is budgeting and we're talking about buying expensive cars.
Right. All right, I'm gonna read one. Shout out to people that leave reviews on our iTunes. If you do it, it's in the, it's kind of complicated, but if you figure out, just Google how to leave a review on a podcast on iTunes. And if you do, shout out to you because people see this shit. And right now we have 155 people that have rated us 5 stars. One dickhead that rated us 1 star. I don't know who the hell that is. But if I ever find you, I will find you, and I will probably tell you to fucking change it. This one's titled "By Tomorrow." Most underrated podcast ever. Agree. Hey man, just want to say thank you for giving us creators the inside scoop we've always wanted. You're motivating me in different ways because with each podcast episode comes a new perspective and blows my mind. So shout out to people that are leaving really fire ass reviews like this. We appreciate it, and it lets everyone else that's kind of hunting for a creative podcast to tune into. It lets them kind of know, you know, what this shit's about to be about. So thank you for doing that. And if you haven't, please go drop one and we'll try to read it next week. And that's it. That's it. Done.
See you guys next week.
Bye. Okay, don't forget, August 25th, 11:59 p.m. Pacific time is your final chance to submit for the Black Window Cream X Dutch Bros contest. Experiment with lights and color is a creative concept. 20 to 60 second submission videos, videos only, and you have to submit it to bwnc@dutchbros.com. So make sure you guys get your content submitted. 4 days remaining. 4 days.